Hey, Harvest. Well, we've had quite a day today. I'm going to ask us to do a little something, if you wouldn't mind. I know y'all just got comfortable in your seat. Can you come a little closer, because we're going to do things a little different tonight. Come a little closer, still in social distancing, of course, but we're going to pray as a church body tonight, and it's just better if you can kind of hear what people are saying if they're near you. So come up a little closer, and Kenny, you're not coming up any closer. Well, you do have a... All right, you do have an outdoor voice. Oh. Hey, I want to read you something. You guys have probably seen what's been on the news all day. Unprecedented. Absolutely unprecedented. If memory serves, it was August of 1814 when Major General Robert Ross of the British Forces, they're the last non-Congress group to breach the Capitol building. I want to read something, if you're okay with it. First of all, I want to read, for those who might be watching and listening, as you know, there are people that are ringing the bell. They're ringing they're rattling the saber. Patriots, time to stand up, you know. I want to read something. This is the night that Jesus is being betrayed. Verse 47 of Matthew 26. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whoever I kiss, he's the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and he drew his sword. And he struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. We know who that is. That's our buddy, Ready, Fire, Aim. That's our buddy, Peter. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes says very clearly, there's a time for everything. Wouldn't you agree? There's a time to build. There's a time to pull apart. You know that. There's a time to kill. And there's a time to heal. But in this case, what we have here is kingdoms in conflict. We have the kingdom of God about to really receive its most important, important event that all sin had to be paid for. Peter doesn't know that. He can only see what he can only see. He's got a lot of passion, but he hasn't been really and truly listening. Remember what Jesus said, they're going to kill me. And they all said, no, 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 Lord, you know. Go to the cross. Far be it from you, Lord. Don't go to the cross. Said whom? Peter. And then Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, was that, I don't think Peter wasn't demon-possessed, of course, but he had a thought in his mind. And here you see the kind of the fruition. No matter what Jesus was teaching, here it is. This is the day of the 14th of Nisan. It's probably Wednesday night. As you know, Jewish day starts at sunset. So this is the 14th. He has a date with prophecy and destiny. He has to be on the cross on what day? On Passover. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and he drew his sword and he struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. And don't you remember, or don't you think, Peter, that I could not now pray to my Father and he would provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? 6,000 to a legion. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In retrospect, of course, we look at what Peter did. It was out of a good place. It was out of a place of passion and all. But in retrospect, we realize, yeah, Jesus had to go to the cross. However, there are times when we look at things as we're looking at them and we're like, man, this is so very unsettling. What are we supposed to do? I think it's important that we remember that there are times that we have to stand, there are times we have to kneel, there are times we have to speak, and there are times we have to be silent. Where are we at now? What we saw today, of course, was a spilling over, I suppose, of a great frustration. And it's correct that some people are seeing it one way and some people are seeing it another. The point of it is, as I said, not for 206 years has the Capitol ever been breached. I personally think we are in the very, very last days. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. I don't know what we will see. I suppose the closer the rapture is to the enforcement of the Antichrist's treaty, we'll see more. If it's more of a distance, maybe not so much. But COVID and all, we are seeing, I believe, what are playing out as some of the most important prophetic days before Jesus takes the church home. What are we supposed to do, Pastor Steve? Well, I think we're always supposed to do what Jesus always says. We're supposed to rise up before our day. We're supposed to pray a solitary place, time of silence, get into the Word, and then what? Then you live your day. I want to read something. It's Psalm 145, if you want to follow along. Actually, it's Psalm 145 and 146. In April 30th of 1789, the very first president of these United States was sworn in. It was in New York because D.C., District of Columbia, hadn't been invented yet. So there's George Washington with his hand on a Bible, and he is swearing into office. 2 years in front of that, this new and grand experiment of the Constitutional Republic had been ratified by all of the states by that time. It was ingenious. The big state said, well, how are we going to represent? I know, by population. And little Rhode Island said, I don't think so. So they came up with a bicameral system of Senate and House. Equal representative in one, representation by population in the other, an executive branch, and then theoretically a Supreme Court to watch over both of those knuckleheads. It's pretty ingenious. And the very first elected president was George Washington. I've told the story before over the years, but after his swearing in, they then went from the portiqueture of Freedom Hall, and which was on the second floor, they walked down onto Wall Street, and then they hung a right until a few blocks they turned right again onto Broadway, right in front of the Trinity Church, still under repair, the Battle of Long Island. And they walked several blocks north to Little St. Paul's Chapel that is there today. And the Right Reverend, where did he go? It's here, I just can't. Oh, Samuel Procost led them in a couple of Bible studies. And then he read Psalm 145 and 146, the day of the inauguration of the very first president. You want to read it again? Let's do so. I will extol you, my God, O King, Psalm 145, and I will bless your name forever and ever, and every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Boy, that's a great psalm for a whole new governmental system. Don't ever forget that. Who was with George Washington that day? Well, you had Vice President Adams. You had the entire Supreme Court. You had the entire Congress and House of Representatives. Well, there was a lot smaller then, remember. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. If only Congress would do that today. When men shall speak of the might of your awesome act, I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and they shall sing your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. He has had much mercy on this wayward nation. 2001 was a significant wake-up call to America. Where did it take place? Where an encroaching enemy always would wage its war. At the wall, specifically at the gates. And there were typically two towers, one on either side of the gate. In every respect of the term, New York City is truly, in many respects, the gateway to America. I think it was hugely symbolic, right down to the Twin Towers. Have we listened? I don't think so. Verse 12, to make known the sons of men, his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. This is what America desperately needs. I don't know if there will be another revival. I don't know. So far, God hasn't told us yet to stop praying. He did tell Jeremiah, that's done, that's enough. He hasn't told us that yet, so we're going to keep doing it. The Lord upholds all who fail, who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. And he would do so to this country if we would only fall down in repentance. His eyes, the eyes of all, look expectantly to you, and you gave them their food in due season. Another way of saying that, our daily bread. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways, gracious in all of his works. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him. How comforting that would be to the brand new government. So many years of revolutionary war, a debacle where the Articles of Confederation, we couldn't raise a common defense, and we were getting goods and services stolen overseas, as well as our citizens impressed into navies and armies of other countries. What are we going to do? That's why they call the Constitutional Convention. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him. Can you imagine George Washington there kneeling? John Adams kneeling? Several of the signers of the Declaration of Independence there kneeling? Several of the former delegates to both the First and Second Congress, the Second Congress which adopted or wrote the Declaration of Independence and now the Constitution, they're all there. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear the cry and save them. That's what we need. That's what we need. If your heart sank watching the crowd break the windows of the Capitol building, I think it should have. And this is not me pointing a finger at them or practically anybody else. It's to remember, God has allowed this season. I'm not really talking about one political candidate or another. Who said what and who did what? I'm saying that America is missing something quite substantial. That her true guard, her actual and real leader should be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear the cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. There are people that say they love God, but by their fruit, I don't know. But all the wicked, he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Then Reverend Provost went on, Psalm 146, imagine who's listening. George Washington et al., John Jay, first U.S. Supreme Court, Supreme Court Justice. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of a man in whom there is no help. This is the Reverend saying to the most important humans of what would become the most important, most consequential nation on the planet. He's saying, don't get too full of yourselves. You are merely representing him. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He's going to die one day, and he's going to return to the earth. And in that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob as his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. I don't know, but those couple of verses sound like a political platform to me. The humans think they can pull this off. Are you seeing with me for a season? But if God is not in the midst and in the middle, it won't last. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. We've been praying a lot about opening blind eyes. The Lord raises those who are bowed down, idea of humility. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the day of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Not Nancy Pelosi. Not Chuck Schumer. And who's the other guy? Who's the Republican? McConnell. Not McConnell either. And not President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Where to pray for them? Absolutely. But harvest, never lose sight. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Do not trust in princes or humans, said Reverend Provost that day in 1789. Does everybody have a communion, a little NASA communion, self-contained doodah? Here it comes. Here comes Val. How's your knee, Val? And Debbie. Oh, nice job. A two-pronged attack. Well planned. What I'd love to do, Lord willing, what I'd love to do is just, first of all, we're going to take communion. If there's an extra one, Debbie and or Val, can you give us one up here too, please? Yeah, up here, please. I was going to have you throw it, but I wouldn't see it. Communion, you guys know what this is about. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, for many of us watching what we watch today on television, I mean, we've seen worse in other countries and situations, but Lord, I think all of us felt something go clank in the midst of our soul. For some, perhaps, Lord, has America become an idol of sorts? We are so proud of this nation, Lord. We are so blessed to be a part of this nation. But I think too many people have forgotten why God shed his grace on thee. I think by and large, the church is not doing the job it ought to. Pastors are not teaching God's word perhaps as they might. I think America's consumed with consuming. I think that by and large, the younger generation, Lord, is more interested in, well, what they're interested in than any of the attributes or concerns of God. And according to Romans chapter 1, a nation is already under judgment, and then names a certain amount of conditions, all of which are true of this nation. You have tried to gather the attention of this people, but as per usual, and as we have been seeing in Jeremiah, unless there is a significant move on your behalf, humans just won't wake up. Lord, I personally believe that you're going to allow a series of shakings in our country. I think you're going to rattle our convenience. COVID, of course, is one of the first sort of salvos in that battle. And listen to us squeak. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. This is you, Lord, I believe, among other things, trying to get us to remember connection and communion are a beautiful gift. And people hate these masks and just loathe not being able to get together. How dare you, government, say I can't spend my Thanksgiving vacation or Thanksgiving days or Christmas days with those that I love. We got COVID, we got a vaccine coming and all that that could mean. And Father, the websites are a buzz. You know what this means? It's the globalist best wish. I don't know, maybe. I know, Father, that planet Earth is exactly where you would have her to be. Because you are coming soon. And we, what are we to do? We're to be about your business. So again, I pray, Lord, when we have the temptation to rip somebody up on social media because my theory is more insightful or well-studied or documented than yours, I pray, Father, we put our thumbs away. I pray, Lord, as we take this communion tonight, we're mindful. All that you have given us and blessed us with is because of your great grace. We deserved none of it. And before we pray, Lord, for this nation, which we will do here tonight, first of all, Lord, check our hearts. Father, thank you for the bread, the symbol of the body broken, so that we wouldn't have to be broken if we chose just such a path. Let's take the bread together. Your body broken, Lord, for us. And now, Father, we thank you for the fruit of the vine. And we thank you, Father, that it is a reminder of the blood spilled for us. There'll be a day when we're standing with you in heaven. Glorious it will be. But we wouldn't have that advantage and that glorious opportunity if it wasn't for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Jesus said, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death and all that it means. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Yes.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to just do some songs, very simple. I think every single one of them are direct scriptures. And perhaps after the communion and we've quieted our hearts and minds, maybe the Lord will clear our hearts. And maybe we can pray. That's what I'd like to do tonight. As the Lord leads. But before we pray, I want to sing Psalm 139.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way. Lead me. You want me. Holiness. take my heart and for it I take my mind, transform it, change my will, conform it to yours, to yours, Lord, what I need.
Faithfulness
is what you want from me. Take my heart and fold it. Take my mind, transform it. Yeah. just the sheen of his hand.
Let's sing along with King David.
Come, let us worship and adore. Let us kneel before the Lord our God. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep. Just the sheep of His hand.
We need You, Lord. Oh, we need You, God. Lift up this nation, oh God. It's not about the politicians. It's about the heart of the people in this land. So many, Lord, calloused. So many, Lord, so far from You.
Where You died, I'm humble.
how much grace you have for this nation. The Bible says very plainly, you do not enjoy when you have to judge. But sometimes your judgment, Lord, is the only thing that stubborn hearts will see. When you allow our convenience to get crowded to the point that we have nothing else but you, wouldn't it be cool if people just read your word and believed it and did what it says? We understand, Lord, those things are spiritually understood in much of America. Oh, they think they're spiritual, but they don't have the Spirit of God. Pour out, oh God, on this nation. On the pastor hearts to teach your word, conviction of sin, the repentance, Lord, of a convicted heart. Much of what you hate. Oh, of course all the eyes of the world are upon it, just like they were on Israel during the time of the judgment of Jerusalem. All the eyes of the world, the eyes of the world, the same former president, George Bush and many others. Oh, they're watching. God says, I know. This is a nation that was founded one nation under God. Nation that proclaimed and sent missionaries more than any other nation to all the world. Oh, were we blessed. Oh, were we so inventive. People will talk of the globalists. People will talk about the conspiracies. I pray, Father, we look above all that and we see the hand of a living God. His mercy, allowing this nation to get squeezed a bit. What will we do? I pray, Father, we model repentance. Point people to you, O God. It's kind of unsettling for some, but in this time of prayer, if you're not comfortable with speaking out loud in prayer, of course the Lord will hear you. Let's use this moment or two just as the Lord leads a small little group of people. Just pray. Cry out. If you have a verse, read the verse. We'll bring up the house lights a little bit. Revival with me. Get my eyes off of the battles that I thought were just so much the issue. Turns out it's not my marriage. Turns out it's not my job that's been bugging me. It's been my empty heart.
Fear not, for I am with you. For I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right arm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We pray that over this world, Lord, and this nation.
I didn't give this slide to the guys to put up there, but it's out of the book of Revelation. In the midst of a great judgment, 7-year tribulation, listen to what the saints say.
Great and marvelous all thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O Lord. You are the King of saints.
Who shall not fear
thee?
Who shall not glorify the name of the Lord?
For only thou art holy,
only thou art holy.
And all the nations shall come and worship before thee.
Great and marvelous. Come and worship before thee.
Everybody's gonna say it.
Great and marvelous all thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O Lord. You are the King of saints.
Everybody's gonna say it.
Who shall not glorify the name, O Lord?
Only thou art holy,
only thou art holy.
All the nations shall come and worship before thee.
For thy judgments are made manifest.
You have it right now.
For thy judgments are made manifest.
Great and marvelous,
great and marvelous all thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O Lord. You are the King of saints.
Who shall not glorify the name, O Lord?
Holy thou art holy.
Holy thou art holy.
The nation shall come and worship before thee. And for thy judgments are made manifest. judgments are made manifest. You are Jehovah.
And we will trust you, Lord. I thank you for those, Lord, led here tonight. I praise you, Father. This is not a time for Christians to shrink back. But we are not to answer the world in the carnal ways that so many are the media all over the place. We are to point people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. To pray and fast, perhaps, that the blind eyes are open, that the deaf ears will be open to hear, that those stuck in addictions or stalemates and lame, the paralyzed will be free. And sometimes we gotta speak to the grave. Rise up, Bible. Rise up. Not the kind of revival that most people think is gonna happen, where the church just gets cooler. No. Rise up, O Lord, in repentance of sin, God. Rise up, O Lord, people knowledgeable in their scriptures, knowledgeable in Bible prophecy. Rise up, dead church, Laodicean commune, consuming church. Rise up, oh God. We know what you're doing, oh God. Lord, of all the times and places I could have been born and lived my life, you said, I want you in Reno right before I come back. And that's true for every single one of us within the sound of my voice. You have a purpose and you have a destiny. God has built you for such a time as this. What about all my failures? What about all my baggage? God says, good, bring those along too, only fall into the Word. Read my heart for you. Stop your sin. Oh, then think about what I'm doing in your life, in this nation. I'm coming back. And when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Why? Because for thy judgments are made manifest. That's what's happening.
For thy judgments are made manifest. I will trust you.
Now more than ever, Harvest, please be in your Bible a lot. Get up before your day starts. Give him that opportunity to speak to your own issues. Remember, it's search me, O God, first. Try me and know my thoughts. See what I'm goofed up in my own heart and mind. Now lead me in the way of everlasting, which means now show me the eternal stuff. Get my eyes up above my own circumstance and give me a heart of an intercessor. Oh, Lord, unprecedented what we saw today. May we learn, Lord, to set aside our political sensitivities and see this for the spiritual issue that it is. The confusion, the paranoia of one group from another, the shrinking back of the monsters on the other side of the aisle. It's not about political pedigree. It's about America has left her first love. We pray for the pastors in our community. We pray for the pastors in our nation. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to make us into intercessors. Yep, we got our businesses to run. Yes, we've got our relationships to maintain. But I pray, Father, is it time for us to fast? Have you fasted, Harvest? Have you fasted for this nation? So instead of getting on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and giving everybody my 2 cents of what I think's going on, may we pray. Amen. May we fast. Amen. May we point everybody to the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We pray all these things, Lord, in your precious name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Powerful stuff today, you guys. It's going to be playing over and over. I don't know that it's over yet. Did you know that the governor's house in the state of Washington was overrun too?
Wow.
America doesn't know who she is anymore. They think they do. And you're going to see all the stuff, you know, the Davos people. You're going to see the world something forum, World Economic Forum. You're going to hear about the elite, the global elites. You're going to hear about all number of things. Maybe, I don't know, but here's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.